Hi, welcome to the Bowen Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Chris Reed, and I'm talking the buzz on Bowen therapy for therapists, clients, educators, or anyone interested in the soft tissue industry. The show where we get to meet interesting Bowen practitioners, trainers, and where we get to hear from experts sharing their secrets to assist Bowen therapists growing their businesses and growing their lives. Okay, welcome to the Bowen Buzz, and today we get to meet Fiona Lucas. So Fiona is a social media guru and author. Welcome, Fiona.
Thanks, Chris. How are you?
Fiona has a business, I Respect Online, and what is the main thrust of the business, Fiona?
Okay, I Respect Online is a boutique social media education agency with where I focus on trying to demystify the online world for small businesses and make it much easier for them to understand and to navigate and to help to build their brand and business. So I have an underpinning focus on reputation management as part of that. So that's a big part of building the way that we engage with our clients and our customers online as well. And
right.
I have a side project called Future Proof Your Kids, of which I'm the author of as well.
Future Proof Your Kids, the
yes.
book. I might talk about that a bit more in the future. But I'm glad there's somebody out there demystifying social media, because for most small business people or people in general, it is really a mystery and how it works and how to get people sort of to, you know, people often say, oh, I've got to do social media better, but they've got no idea about how to go about it. But can we go back a step? How did you get into social media in the first place?
Okay, well, long story short was that I was working in the education sector at the time. When Facebook came out, I was using it myself as part of my travels to communicate with family, and I started seeing there was a great opportunity to get people engaged. And what I then noticed was that those that were getting engaged weren't necessarily doing it very well. And it wasn't even really business then at that stage. It was human to human, and a lot of them were misbehaving. So I got quite passionate about trying to bring online etiquette and respect into the online space, which is hence where the name I Respect Online.
I Respect Online. Great. Okay. So people misbehaving, is that something we shouldn't do on social media?
Well, you know, it's just all about respectful engagement. And so what we saw at the very start was that whole feeling that, oh, I'm behind a screen so I can suddenly do anything that I want. And therefore, I used to say, well, if you wouldn't really speak like that at the table or to your grandmother, then maybe it's worth having a little stop and a check and have a look in your mirror and see exactly what it is you're reflecting. As we started to notice the potential for businesses to move into the online space is a fantastic way of growing their brand and giving them reach and the ability to communicate in a way they've never had before, it became even more important that we learn some rules around the way that we're engaging with each other.
Yeah. Right. That's interesting. Some of the language you use is really almost industry jargon as well, like engagement and reach and these types of things. So we might actually demystify some of that as well.
Oh, yeah, we certainly will. But the basis of it really is it really is more about relationship management now. So it really is just about being human and humanising instead of using it as an advertising space. So that's the big, I think, difference between people move from having, you know, newspapers and TV, radio and print ads where all they were doing was a one-way directional sell. It was like, I've got this, buy it. And what social media opened up was the voice of the consumer on the other side and their ability to be far more discerning because they go seeking information. So, and by the word reach, the reach meant that we suddenly could get to more people, whereas before you know, maybe had an audience in the local paper who may or may not have looked at your particular ad, suddenly you're able to actually reach out to people in your demographic and you can be very selective about the audience you're trying to get your message across to.
Right. And really, I suppose we have to, if we're going to define social media, how do you define, is there a definition? I mean, there's different types, isn't there? So maybe if you run through the different types for us. So you've got, well, obviously people often first, perhaps think of Facebook, but what other platforms are there?
Well, I'd like to first start with saying social and media explains itself because it's media, and so that you've got written word, spoken word, and video and it's social. So that the two words together let you straight away know that there's a difference in the way we're engaging. We're not, it's not sales, it's social. So foremost, people come to the different platforms in order to seek information, engage with others, build communities, join communities. People who are isolated will often find platforms are a fantastic way of them learning more and finding out about other things that are out in the world, and finding other people that think the way they do. So it's quite good at bringing people together. When you come to the platforms, your Facebook was, I guess, the first big platform. You know, we had MySpace before that and a few other sort of pockets of platforms, particularly in the gaming sector where very specific audiences were already playing. When it comes to Facebook, it really opened it up. As I said, for myself, it was a way of communicating with family as I travelled. When I was studying overseas, I wanted to be able to let people know it was okay and, you know, be able to talk to my family. And I think Facebook just grew from that. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg originally started it as a communication platform for students. And then the potential was seen how big it could get. And it's a teenager now. It's like 13.
Right.
And so starting to grow up a bit, it's had some teething problems along the way. And they're certainly evolving more now. So Facebook is very much a place where there's a lot of family, there's a big range of people, there's a lot of women in particular, and sort of the 35 plus age group is very much on Facebook, in fact even probably 40 plus. The younger ones are still there because it's still a great place where they can engage and share certain information because of the way other platforms don't let you do group and one-to-one things, but a lot of them prefer more visual platforms. So then you've got things like Instagram and Snapchat where they're quick, they're fun, and they're very, very visual. And so you get a lot of younger people hanging out there, but you also have an incredible opportunity as a business to be on those platforms, because particularly Instagram, because sharing good visuals really appeals to people. It's a great way of getting a message across when you're trying to teach somebody or share information that you have that could be of value to them.
Right. So then, and also then Twitter, I suppose, is the other one perhaps. Is that still fall within that realm?
Twitter's and re-evolving a little bit at the moment, so it's going to be interesting to see what they're trying to do, because they certainly just put a whole lot more control around bullying, because some of Twitter's always been fast, quick. It's 140 characters. You don't have a lot of time to say things there. So it's been very good for specific groups, but the best thing it was for was the quickly sharing information. So it became the place for particularly media, journalists and things to hang out. So therefore, businesses worked out, if I want to connect with people like that, it's a really good place to go. And then, of course, you've got politicians who like it.
Yes, we see Mr. Trump sort of using it as his main form of getting stuff out there that doesn't seem to have people can't come back at him quickly. Once he puts it out there, it's out there.
Yeah, that's right, but then it's shared very, very quickly. And the smallest thing that you say, particularly on that platform, that's slightly controversial, out of line, gets shared very, very quickly and becomes viral. So it's really important that what you're saying is accurate and truthful for a start, because it can highlight your flaws very quickly.
Right. So with business in particular, and we're looking at people primarily on this, with the Bowen Buzz is more about people, so perhaps doing Bowen therapy or, say, massage therapy or soft tissue therapies in general. Some of the platforms work for different types of businesses better than others, do they? Would you say that? Or is it more about the different audience that you're trying to reach, which platform, or do we need to be on all of them?
Okay, well, look, I always say that you can't do everything well. So you're best to sort out the ones that you're most comfortable in using, but definitely it has to be where your audience is. So, and I find, for example, Snapchat, again, is still evolving in the way that people using it for business it's quite expensive to advertise on there compared to other platforms.
Sorry, what is Snapchat?
So Snapchat is a platform which allows very, very quick snippets of video and photos that are designed not to hang around too long. But you now find that Instagram has added stories which do the same thing. They disappear after 24 hours. So they appeal to young audiences in particular. And Snapchat also, I think, has that appeal to the youth because it's sort of like hidden away. And so it's very much attractive to teens and things because, you know, as a teen, you're growing up, you're trying to find your own way. And so therefore, if your market was teens, then Snapchat's a good place for you to go. But if it's not really your market, then I would think your energies would be better served on other platforms. But you really do need to do your research. And it's like anything. Just going, oh, I've got it and I'll come, doesn't work. You have to have strategy in place and you need to know what you're trying to do so that you can experiment with the way that you'll get there, because it isn't a one-size-fits-all, and what works for, you know, one business may not work for your business. So it really is a matter of needing to allow yourself that time to grow and not to panic and not to get hung up on the numbers either.
I was going to say, because sometimes it's about, is it about the amount of, what's important about, say we're talking about Facebook, if you like, and it's probably because I don't really understand Instagram very well, so perhaps I need to do Instagram better, perhaps, or is Instagram, can I ask, is that something that would work in my type of industry, or a Bowen therapist or massage therapist industry, would that be?
It's a health industry, so health is very big on Instagram, and you're in a health industry. It's a matter of the way that you would direct the strategy to use that platform. So, again, as I said, it's very visual, but you could certainly tap into all, you know, beautiful meditation things when you're out on a retreat. The fact that you can actually relay who you are to people and show the benefits of a healthy lifestyle, I think, is something that you can tap into. But it is a slightly bit more abstract way, and it's, again, it's not where you're directly marketing, going buy this, buy this, buy this. It's more that you're sharing part of the story of who you are as a practitioner, and what you offer to people that they will respond to. And people seek alike, people who think alike. So if you're knowing the kind of demographic that you want to attract, then you obviously build your content around that as well. Mm. But it's still got to be authentic. If it's just manufactured, it sort of doesn't.
It'll show up.
Like, yeah, you might get some initial responses to some things, but you won't get the actual target market that you're after.
Yeah, you've used the word strategy a couple of times. That seems to be incredibly important. Like, there's no point just, if what I understand you're saying is that there's no point just doing stuff without a reason, or just putting stuff up there without some. What do you mean by strategy?
Okay, so I guess it's like, you know, if you go to build a house, you've got to put it on a foundation, otherwise it's going to fall over. So your strategy is the foundation to everything that you're going to do. So when you begin looking at what you're going to be doing in the online space, the first thing you'll do is say, well, what is it that I'm trying to achieve? What do I want to do? And what do people want more than anything? And we know they don't want to be sold to. But, for example, with Bowen, you know that a lot of the people that want the therapy, so not talking about the practitioners at the moment, but the actual people who seek therapy, are going to be people that are suffering from pain and from, you know, conditions from which they're trying to find relief. It could be stress, it could be all sorts of things. So therefore, the content that you did initially, if you were trying to bring people to your practice, would be to highlight the things that you can do and give them information that is going to help them on their journey to better health. So it's not about come into me and I'm going to do this. It's, and also being mindful that you can't, you know, legally, there's certain claims that in the health industry that can and can't be made. Mm. So the better way to do it is to give information out there that lets people know that perhaps you've tried these treatments. Have you considered that there are these other alternatives that you might like to explore? And then start to deliver what those values and what those benefits are of those therapies. And that will bring people to your audience, to your page, you know, to learn more. If you're giving good information and you're giving it in a really great place, because every bit of information in the out there is can be found somewhere. Somebody will have already said it.
Yep.
We can have our egos up there and think we've been brand new and thought of whatever, but the truth is it's all out there already. So the idea is for you to bring your flavour to it and to show your knowledge and your passion for wanting to help people by what you deliver on online. So,
yeah, that's great. Yeah. And I think you've given us some really good things to think about there of how we're going to, what you know, it's a bit like, okay, go away now and delve into what our values are and perhaps what the story we want to say.
Absolutely.
So you have to have that, as you say, as the foundation of your strategy, if you like.
I think you need to be coming from a place of where you're knowing this is what I want to achieve. And if it is that your idea is that you're trying to bring more people into this, you know, beautiful healing thing. You know, I'm a fan of Bowen. I found it to be a particular benefit in my own life and as a family and friends. And I think we all find different ways of what appeals to us. But being able to share those things and being able to make it a two-way conversation is really important. Don't just put things out there and forget that it is a relationship you're trying to build. So inviting people to engage with you, asking them, telling them you'll answer their questions, you know, giving them that ability to be your fans too and let them come onto your page and, you know, rave if they want to. And, you know, testimonials are brilliant for businesses as well. And if people know they're allowed to have a voice, they tend to not mind being heard.
Right. Yeah. What are some of the real pitfalls, though? What are some of the things we shouldn't do, perhaps, on a business page? Now, another question too. Mm. We have a personal page, but is a business page called a page? There's different.
A profile. Yeah, your personal profile is your own beginnings. If we're talking Facebook, obviously we're talking Facebook now. So with Facebook, by the rules that you sign up for, you must originally sign up as yourself. You have to be a real person. Part of that was to try to eliminate, unfortunately, we know that there's plenty of fake profile out there, but, you know, the thought behind it was to create a platform where you really were who you were so that people could connect to you.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, as for student to student, you know, you needed to know who that was, if that's who you're trying to meet, or if you need to meet a professor, you wanted to know who that was. So, and I like that. I like that, you know, they're trying to make it that you're somebody real. From that, you create your page or pages. You can have more than one. But you must first be a person behind there.
Right.
And then you can operate as your page. So your personal profile really is just that. It's about you wanting whatever you choose. Some people don't want to engage very much on there at all. They do come to Facebook more to work for their business. And other people are very social and love to share their lives with their core group of friends. And that became the benefit for businesses, was that we worked out, hey, everyone's got a core group of friends. And on average, everyone's got around 300 friends on Facebook. So you talk about word of mouth on steroids.
Yeah,
you know, then people were seeing that this ability to, hey, we can tap into big audiences because the word of mouth kind of reference will come from, you know, if Joe likes what I've posted, Joe's friends will see what she's liked and they might like it too, so they might, and then their 300 friends and their 300 friends and that sort of thing. So it's a great way of growing a business. The things that people do wrong is sell, and also use their personal profile in sort of very poor etiquette, with poor etiquette in that perhaps they might try to message their friends and they friend a lot of people that they're really not interested in actually having a relationship with because they're trying to sell to them.
Right.
And that quickly disengages people and also can have you getting reported to Facebook. And Facebook do close down profiles and pages if they get enough reports on what's going on. And sometimes even when they just sense that something's not quite right. So, you know, we still see people doing, you know, not using the rules the correct way. But there's, you know, humans are humans and they'll always test boundaries. But I do highly advise that businesses think foremost as this being a platform by which they can have a conversation with the people that they want to talk to, humanise their brand and bring it right down to a much more approachable level. And so don't sell, you know, post information first. When you have got something, of course you can put it up there. But if every post is come to my this, buy my that, get this and do that, people will disengage very quickly because they go, well, the only thing that I can get off there is whatever you're selling. So why would I come back?
Right.
You know,
I suppose it'd be like having a conversation with somebody. If every time you walked up to them and met them in the street, they said, hey, you need to buy this off me, then you wouldn't want, you'd avoid them after a while, wouldn't you?
Well, you tend to, don't you? We know that. With certain brands got a bit of a reputation for using those sort of models of selling. And that was when, you know, when, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with, you know, using like your MLMs and things like that. Multi-level marketing platforms, but we all know that if you overdo it, your friends turn off you pretty quickly. I think it's important. Authenticity, I think, and honesty, you know, keeping your values high around you and the way you engage, and always thinking about how you like to be spoken to and sold to. I mean, you know, none of us actually like to be sold to. So, you know, you sort of start sensing that. You do see a lot of, there's a lot of psychology goes on around marketing, always has done, you know. I'm thinking that and feeling, I certainly myself, I don't go down the old scare marketing line. It's never been something that I like, so it's not something that I want to do. But and I think people are getting smarter about that kind of thing, about that, oh, you've got to get this now or else you're going to miss out. It will always attract some people. But I do believe that we should be focusing more on the relationships rather than.
So is that when you talk about engagement, is that what you mean? So it's not so much having 1,000 likes if you've got nobody engaging. Is that correct?
There's aspects of engagement. So engagement when it comes to Facebook or Instagram can be around the, you know, likes that you're getting for something. That is a form of engagement. Shares is another form of engagement. And comments, of course, are the best form, really, you're actually know that you're hitting the target and getting people interested in what you want to say. So comments are always awesome. And shares are great because they'll, you know, they push whatever it is you're trying to sort of share out there. So there's very different levels of engagement. The vanity metrics are kind of on the way out. You know, initially when Facebook came, it was all that big race, like, oh, got to have more fans than everyone. But for the average small business, to be honest, you do need a few in order to get that, what I call reach, which is how many people see your content. Yep. Just by the Facebook has a very complex algorithm, has over 100,000 touch points to it. So it's not something you can sit around and just discuss. Hey, we're going to hit that touch point because every single point in that algorithm is looking at another point. But the basis of it in a very simplified form is that Facebook looks at, firstly, does a page have anyone coming to it? Is it interesting? So it's looking at the value of that. So obviously if no one comes, then if you just invite your friends, and like I see a lot of businesses do that and then they'll spam their business groups, everyone like my page, right? But if those people are never actually going to be your clients and they're never going to come back, in some ways that's actually a negative to the way the algorithm will look because they'll go, oh, they got all these likes and then nothing. So you don't want that to happen.
Right.
You're better to build steadily. And for a small business, you're talking building over years.
Right.
You know, it's not a get quick fix. Yes, some people will have that. They'll have an amazing innovative product perhaps or something comes out that really captures the eye. But that's not the average business person. And I think, you know, that's something that we need to sort of understand is that it's just like developing trust.
Right.
And friendships and things like that.
But from the get-go, it's good to have a strategy right from the start. Is that sort of help?
Absolutely, because your first strategy should be probably, will be about just building who your brand is and working out who you are and what the message is. So that's the beginnings of it. And then you have layers of strategy into that. So, for example, if you had, a new product or fit for you, you might be wanting to bring, new people in that want to become Bowen therapists. So when they're trying to do that, what you want to do is highlight the benefits of what it brings to your life personally, what you get out of being a Bowen therapist yourself. So there's your own personal story behind there, the healthy aspects of the lifestyle, and then how other people might like to be part of that. So each thing you try to do will have its own process around it. So whether it's trying to firstly build your presence online, and then down the line will be about building more awareness about what it is that you're doing or the products that you offer. Yeah,
it's been fantastic. It's funny. It's almost sometimes when you open these doors as you're doing them, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like I don't know if it's less scary now than when I started.
That's true. Look, and I think that's where people like me are there, that we're there to try to guide you and try to stop you putting your fingers in every pie straight away, because it does get overwhelming quickly and it changes all the time.
Yeah.
So it's no point. Like, you have to be flexible. If you're not flexible, you're just not going to cope, because you know what might be working for you tomorrow, they might go and change an algorithm. It's not going to work for you the next day. Yeah. So, you really need to be able to be fluid with it and not get too hung up on it. Add it into your overall marketing communication strategy, because it's a massive part of that. It's a massive part of your customer relations. In fact, it's becoming the hub for your customer relations, because, and we could talk for hours, obviously, on all these different aspects. But one of the things is that, you notice, like, for example, Messenger is now on your pages, and within that Messenger, you actually have some little bots, that auto chat bots, that allow you to set up, say, oh, we're not here right now or whatever.
Yep.
And now you've even got the layer of chat bots where you can actually have someone who puts on the page, it will automatically go, oh, hi, Chris, thanks for visiting, how can I help you? And it will then actually put in layers of taking you through a stage to where it will say, for example, with a product, it might say, look, I'm going to get you some customer help, but while you're there, you're interested in those products, have a look at this.
Yeah.
So that side of it is really, really developing.
Right.
So that's going to be huge as it gets around. Not so keen on their advertising that's coming into the Messenger app. That could be annoying and spammy, to be honest. So it is an ever-evolving
thing, isn't it? Like, as you say, Facebook is now a teenager and it's growing up, but it is continuing to grow, and there's it's almost difficult to stay on top of what's next or what's happening now.
Well, that's why my whole life is based around that, because honestly, that you spend a lot of time trying to do that. And of course, I've built networks where I've got people who specialize in different areas too, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to keep on top of it. But I think it's important where businesses do realize that it's always good to have, it's good to have a business mentor in every aspect of your business. So not to be afraid to look at your marketing as part of the investment in your business. If you do a TV program, for example, you're talking about usually about $30,000 plus to do a fairly simple television. That sort of money you don't need. You really can do from $1 to $5 a day marketing on Facebook advertising and get some really good results. But again, you've got to know what you're doing, and you need a little bit of direction around that, and you have to know what the audience is trying to get. So your first strategy should always be building up your page and your audience and attracting those people, and taking metrics from things like your websites as well, because Facebook advertising is incredibly strong, and it's able to, we can track with a thing called the Facebook Pixel, which is a little piece of code that you can put on landing pages and you can put in the back of your website, and it will actually track and allow you to work out who is going to your website. And that gives you a couple of things. Number one, it gives you an audience that you can retarget to market, because you can pick that audience up, and you can also create like audiences. But you can also analyze it and see am I getting the right people? If you find you're attracting people, from perhaps all corners of the globe, you're a local business and you don't want to be doing that, then you know that your SEO and things like that need to change on your site as well. But that becomes sort of, that's the bigger picture, and this one's like, all of these things a part of your overall strategy, right. And you so really web, can't so you, do one without the other.
Yeah. So your business website linking in with your Facebook, so you've sort of you've jumped some sort of social media back to website there, haven't you? So
yeah, well,
so they're all linked.
You don't own a Facebook page. Facebook owns a Facebook page. So therefore, ditto any of the other platforms.
Right.
The only thing you can own is your domain name and your little piece of island. So what I see, Facebook and other social media are basically like your little active hub. It's where you can direct things to and from your website. So it's really important to still have that. And you can do a whole lot of stuff. There are still people that don't have websites, but it does depend on your product and what's the best marketing strategy for you and whether your audience is there. And some people really can send to manage. You now can have a shop within Facebook, so you don't necessarily need to have a website. However, I never like to put all my eggs in the one basket.
No, because if Facebook shut you down, you'd have nothing left, would you?
If Facebook shut you down, you have nothing left. But if suddenly something comes up and we don't know, look, Facebook has been phenomenal success.
Yes.
The way it's kept growing, and that's what keeps evolving to keep on top. But there could be a point where, you know, you get that saturation point, you get the point where people are going, okay, I'm kind of not really liking this, and something new comes along.
Mm.
So far, nothing has been able to have the same level of engagement that Facebook does, and that's why it keeps being there, because even though the kids go to Instagram and things like that, you can't have the same kind of conversations in a stream under a picture as you can when you can see what's going on, create an event and all those sort of things that you can do on Facebook. So I think that's where it's still got a lot of leverage to go. So I don't think it's going to disappear in a hurry.
Wow, a lot of information, Fiona. Well, I did want to touch back onto your book too, because now that was Future Proof Your Kids.
That's right, yeah.
And what's that about?
So Future Proof Your Kids was the sort of at the beginning of my journey when I really saw that we were doing a lot of top-down approaches trying to, you know, halt bullying and get better behaviour online. And I thought, I think the better way to go is for a bottom-up approach and to actually try to help parents and give them a bit of a directory of things that they can do to learn about the space. And again, that word demystify comes in, because parents were scared, but they go, oh, I don't know what they're doing on there, I don't understand it. Now we've got generations of parents using social media, so again, that's evolved. But the same principles, it basically outlines a framework, which I call the reputation framework, which is really about developing ways of making sure your children develop resilience so that they're stronger and they can, you know, not take on board everything that happens online. I think that's one of the most important things. Research is one of my four R's, and, you know, that's come into play right now because of the whole fake news and all that stuff that's there. And that's been a bugbear of mine for since I wrote the book, which was 2013, was in order to try to get people more aware of how much news out there isn't real news, how much is an infomercial, and it's written like it's something accurate. And that's not just on Facebook, I'm talking about the whole World Wide Web.
So having children understand that, it could be really important.
Parents understand it, so that they're modelling the right behaviours.
Yep.
So respect was obviously one of the big R's there as well, and responsibility is the other one. So being responsible for what it is we put online and owning it, and then the respect is respect for yourself, because that matters big time. You know, Future Proof Your Kids came, there was also a backstory in there with a friend whose child had a bad experience online, and therefore that made me, so they weren't really respecting themselves because of the images that they were putting out there without thinking about it or allowing to go out there. And then the respect for others obviously comes into it, because the trolls and the things that you can get out there. I don't think there's anything wrong with robust discussion, but I don't like it when it turns nasty, because to me that means you've just really lost the thread of the argument anyway.
That's really good. And we'll put the link to Future Proof Your Kids, or how people can access that.
It's bought on Amazon. It's just pretty much just electronic now at the moment.
We'll put the links in the show notes so that people can get to that if they want to. That'd be good. Fiona, it's been great to talk to you, and I just, as I said, it is an enormous area, isn't it, to understand and to stay on top of, and for small business people, but we see it as increasingly important to be aware and to be able to do it well. So I suppose what you do is actually teach people to do that? So whether there's are there webinars? Do you have or access to your site? That would be interesting for people to go to your site, and we'll certainly put the link to that up there.
Well, they're welcome to engage with me on Facebook at iRespect Online. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram as well. I mean, on Instagram as myself as iRespect Online. I'm Future Proof there as well. So there's all my pages that they can engage on. On LinkedIn as well, you'll find more about me there. I think the best way that businesses can learn is by finding someone that they relate to, and that so we've all got different takes and different flavours on the way that we engage with others. So, you know, obviously I welcome businesses. I love, you know, businesses that give back. That's really important to me. And I can guide them. I can be a mentor to them. I can help develop strategy or completely develop the strategy, as well as I do run private webinars and workshops. So they can be one-on-one workshops, or sometimes industries get you to come in and you know, run a whole session for a group of people. So,
yeah, that might be something that we need to work on, I reckon.
Yeah, for
Look,
sure.
Look, I've really, really enjoyed the chat, and I'm sure that people have got a lot out of it today. So thanks very much for coming along and coming on to the Bowen Buzz.
No worries. Thanks for inviting me. And of course, anyone's welcome if they've got questions to pop over onto the page and ask away. Or if it's a question that you think others would benefit from, please put it on the actual page so that I can answer it directly. Or message me with it, and I can, you know, if we have a good discussion about it, can become a blog post or something later on down the line without your name in it, obviously.
Well, thanks very much, Fiona. And Fiona from iRespect Online. And this has been Chris with another episode of the Bowen Buzz. So enjoy the buzz. You've been listening to another episode of the Bowen Buzz podcast. So I hope you've enjoyed that. If you'd like to ask a question or suggest someone we could interview, please let us know by going over to the comments page. And if you'd like to leave a review on iTunes, that'd help us get the word out there and spread the news about the Bowen Buzz podcast. This has been Chris Reed. Have a great day. Enjoy the buzz.